if you know the background on this book, it's a little bit sad. You see, Paul had been mentoring this young man, Timothy. He's a young pastor. He's been assigned to run a church and ministered alongside Paul. He's just been this young man that he's discipled and he's brought along. So when you look to 1 Timothy, you see instructions for Timothy about don't let anybody put you down because you're young. Just do what you're supposed to do and trust God. He gives Timothy instructions, and really it's the only place in Scripture that the Bible tells us how to organize ourselves. He gives Timothy, and also Titus, but he gives Timothy instructions on how to pick elders and what kind of people you should choose for leadership roles. So he's mentored this young man all along. 2 Timothy is a little bit different. When Paul writes 2 Timothy, Paul is in prison again, and he doesn't really think he's going to get out of prison this time. So as he writes this letter to young Timothy, he kind of knows that this may be the last time that he writes to him. So you're running ahead of me there, guys. Let me do the clicky thing. I'll do the thing. So as we come to the end of this year and we look ahead, I thought it would be best to give some thought to how we finish, just as Paul is doing here. Specifically, what it means to finish strong as a disciple. It's not how we finish financially. It's not how we finish in our health, although those are all important things. But how do we finish as a disciple of Jesus? That's the important thing. This idea of discipleship, it's not an end of itself, but it's really a means to an end. When we disciple others and when we are discipled by people, it's to lead us into, like the song says, to be happy in Jesus, you've got to trust and obey. We're supposed to be a certain kind of person. So when we get to the end of our year, or even our life, like the Apostle Paul, we too will be able to say that we fought the good fight, that we finished the race, that we kept the faith. That's what we're going to look at today. As we come to the end of the year, let's examine the idea of finishing strong. So Paul knows that this is sort of the end of his life. And think about this. If you knew that you were only going to have one more chance to communicate to somebody that you loved, how carefully would you choose your words? Of all the things that you would tell a child or a grandchild or a niece or a nephew, if you knew you're never going to speak to them again, of all the things that you could teach them, what kinds of things would you choose? And Paul writes this letter accordingly. In 2 Timothy, Paul's in prison and he's getting close to, as we're going to see, his departure. Now, departure is an interesting word. Departure in the text, in the original languages, it has that sense of when a boat unties the ropes and is casting off. It's not just leaving. It's that idea of casting off the ropes and setting out. It also is used in the context of a military organization breaking camp and leaving. So the departure has that idea of folding up your shop, so to speak, and getting ready to go on a journey. So when Paul talks about my departure is at hand, you're going to see how that word is very meaningful. In 1 Corinthians, in fact, Paul refers to the body as sort of a heavenly tent, which we will depart at some point, but later on will be replaced by a glorified body. So Paul is choosing very carefully what he says. Now, Paul writes in the first few chapters of Timothy an encouragement to Timothy to remain faithful to the word, to remain faithful to the truth, despite all opposition that's coming against him and despite all the false teachings. And different people that try to twist the gospel. He's encouraging Timothy to remain true to the faith. So that is the setting, because Paul wants to finish strong. Remember, Paul is all about discipling this young man. So in this letter, Paul finishing strong is finishing strong in discipling this young man. So he chooses carefully what are the most important things for him to leave behind as a guidance for Timothy. So we're going to look at a few of those things today. So we begin with the first few verses, and what does he emphasize? It says here, I charge you, this is 2 Timothy chapter 4 at the beginning, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearance in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Wow. Timothy, what's the most important thing he wants Timothy to do? Preach the word. Now, if I were to say today, I'm going to stop right now, I'm going to pick one of you at random to come up here and preach the rest of the sermon, how many of you would be quaking in your boots and running for the door? Yeah. Because we have the wrong picture of what it means to preach the word. We have it in our mind because of modern, you know, Western culture, Christianity, that preach the word is what I do up here on Sunday morning, and I hope that is true also. But you see, Timothy, in Timothy's days, there weren't churches, there weren't pulpits and pews, and you didn't go to a building to go to church. The people were the church. So when in Paul's culture, in Timothy's time, preach the word meant tell people about the gospel. When Timothy's day, when it said to preach the word, you didn't have the New Testament. It was being written. It wasn't all done yet. So it could not possibly have meant, preach the word could not possibly have meant what we begin to think of it today. So when Paul says to Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God to preach the word, here's my charge to you today. I charge you to preach the word, meaning to tell everybody about Jesus, to tell people that they are lost and they need a Savior. I think one of the reasons that a lot of people don't seek out Jesus, don't seek out a Savior, because they don't know they're lost. We've lost that in the church today, that everybody wants to talk about heaven, but nobody wants to talk about hell. You see, if you don't have a sin problem, you don't need a Savior. So when he says to Timothy, preach the word in season and out of season. He's not talking about winter, spring, summer, or fall. Paul is saying, preach the word all the time. Share people Jesus. Tell them why you believe what you believe. And he thought that was so important. It begins the list. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. But listen, he goes on to say, look at the text. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So what does it mean, reprove and rebuke and exhort? It means to tell people the truth. I was reading an article just this morning that Franklin Graham, Billy's son, who now runs that organization, was actually banned from Facebook for a period because in 2016 he wrote an article. And essentially, he said in the article, it's too long a story to tell, but basically, he was exhorting biblical truth in this article, and the folks at Facebook considered that hate speech because he was saying certain things were wrong. And they yanked him off of Facebook because he was saying what the Bible said. You know, we run into that all the time, do we not? People think of Christians as judgmental, and you know, we have all these rules and all that sort of thing. So Kelly talked to a lady this morning that was saying how difficult it was because, you know, we should all just love each other. Jesus loved everybody. And we're Christians. We should just love everybody. But what does the Bible say? Preach the word, but what does preach the word include? It reprove, rebuke, and exhort with